It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, August 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. It is surely a sign of the strange times we live in that Amazon's $970 million purchase this week is a company that lets people watch other people play video games. Twitch is a website that live streams gaming content of all kinds to some 55 million people every month. It's been eyed by others. Google was reportedly interested earlier this summer. So why do big tech companies like Twitch? Brian Blau is research director at Gartner.
The game industry is one that they've been going after for a while. And when this Twitch opportunity came by, they really decided to jump on it. And all of a sudden, now they have access to a really interesting demographic of core game players.
Worth noting that Twitch's gamer user base isn't the only thing Amazon wants that it doesn't have. Also on its wish list is buyers for its new not-quite-flying-off-the-shelves devices, like Fire TV and Amazon Fire Phone.
We already know that Amazon is interested in putting games on their devices. You know, now they have phones, they have tablets. So there's a lot of reason that Amazon would want to bring that core gamer community into its own ecosystem. And this could be a really interesting way for them to do that.
Brian Blau of Gartner, Amazon's purchase this week is one of its biggest ever. From sharing gameplay to the sharing economy, you've heard about the regulatory snarls for companies like Airbnb and Uber. But how has this new business model changed the world of insurance? Well, as Sally Herships reports, it's complicated.
Sharing sounds so utopian, but the industry has a dark side, and its name is insurance.
Probably one of the hardest things we had to do in order to start our company was to get the insurance.
Seth Peterson is CEO of AllYouCanArcade.com, an arcade game rental business. He says he called 100 insurance agents before he found one willing to work with him.
Eventually, what I did was I started to get my insurance license because I thought if no one is going to underwrite this, I'll underwrite this myself.
The brokers he talked to were okay with the arcade game part of his business.
And then we'd say, well, actually, though, we have these independent contractors who work for us who fill demand across the entire United States. And that was the point where they just freaked out.
Do you remember the first time a sharing company came to you and requested insurance?
I do, actually. I literally looked at him and I started laughing. I was like, no one's going to insure this.
Ashley Hunter is with HM Risk Group, a broker specializing in risky markets like the client she's talking about, a car sharing service. She says traditionally, if you have a car, you're the driver. But with the sharing industry,
there's too many variables. I don't know who's using the vehicles. I don't know when these cars are going to be used. What happens if someone is sharing the car and then it gets stolen? Who's responsible?
Hunter says she gave that company coverage, but calculating rates can be complicated. Ted Devine is CEO of Insurion, an online broker that specializes in small businesses, many of which share.
You're an independent programmer. You run into your Uber car. You forget your laptop.
Devine says if you work for a big company and lose your laptop, everyone could get sued. He says the category of risk dealing with cyber data.
The sharing economy puts that on steroids.
Sharing sounds so good.
Christy Alderman is vice president for Chubb Personal Insurance.
Our parents taught us to share when we were toddlers, right? But in this case, sharing has some challenges.
Alderman says for consumers, too, if you want to pay to share, beware. Read your insurance policy. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Following the events in Ferguson, Missouri, there's been a lot of talk about putting policing on tape, or hard drive, rather. There has also been talk of how big data can help reduce abuse of power and bring more truth and reconciliation to intense police-citizen interactions. PC Magazine columnist Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen has been thinking a lot about all of this. He says part of the issue is putting the power of data into the hands of the public. Ibrahim, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here.
You're talking about using big data not on the policing side, but on the citizen side to essentially monitor policing.
You're right that there's a huge movement right now, a petition on whitehouse.gov that's basically saying put more cameras on cops. There's even apps that young people are making so they can track what happens to them when their interactions with police. But there's nothing on the sort of government side that's saying, if there's bad apple cops, how come we don't know the data about them until after they've done something deadly?
Part of the problem here is a complaint form structure that is not easy.
Interactions with the police are very stressful.
Charged, right? Yeah.
Right, so they're very tense. One of the last things you're going to do is to think to note exactly what happens. I think we should have a really dynamic, robust, app-driven, small gadget-driven system that you can just put in what happens. Maybe even just put in a voice note and just send that out so that you can actually have real-time information about what happens in that situation and it's sent quickly.
We both know that there may be some resistance to this. If you could wave a magic wand, how would you make this happen?
The first path would be to the jurisdictions that are already putting on cameras and getting that audio and that video data, and then how do they use that data? How do they make decisions based on that data and starting to track metrics related to that? It could just be something that's internal facing only. And then eventually you start to say, let's open up a larger system to the public where they can feed information into it after you've established the credibility of the existing data.
So it's like the first step, hopefully, is self-awareness within the department.
And I would argue that they already have this information. The real question is, do we feel empowered as a citizen that the investigations of misconduct are going to actually mean something to my community?
Because otherwise, why do it?
Correct. Then you'll feel completely disempowered. You know, it's not going to change the on-the-ground situation, but it'll give us a better sense that we can have more agency. And on the police officer side of it, they're going to feel vindicated if they're doing things the right way. And if they're the bad apple, then get rid of them.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is a columnist at PC Magazine. Ibrahim, thank you very much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go today, a reminder to check out the Marketplace app. It will not make your coffee or your dinner, but it will keep you informed on the day's tech, business, and economic news. Find it at the App Store or on Google Play. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.